B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go, Mass.
Here we go.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside.
Bagel bites.
Gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Munchkin.
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Sprout.
Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Try the coffee.
Everybody seems so happy today.
Yeah, how about a Krulla?
It's a sunshine day.
I think I'll go for a
Paul Perillo on the Zoom. These times being what they are, and a little bit of a delay. Don't know if you picked that up.
A little behind us.
It is going to sound wretched on the replay. Yeah, it's not going to sound good. Hi, Paul.
Hey, boys.
How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. Okay. I got to tell you, there's a couple of things that you guys would not be surprised about that would absolutely stun me.
For example?
Just from listening, driving in, you guys are looking for split reps at quarterback this week, or I should say Cam Newton not getting all the reps at quarterback this
correct
week?
I was wondering if McDaniels and or Bill were hinting at that this week.
I don't think they were. I think that was more of I don't want to necessarily answer the specific question you're asking about, you know, the amount of rushing attempts that I anticipate Cam Newton receiving, and instead it was, well, yeah, there'll be a lot of rotating this week. And I think that's typically what Bill likes to do in the opener anyway. I think when he feels like he has the options, he likes to get as many players some game reps as early in the season as possible. I think if Newton is healthy and everything goes well, I don't anticipate him not taking every snap on Sunday.
Okay. I kind of hope that he does just to see it.
Me too. It would piss people off and it would be overthinking the thing. It'd be something to talk about. I'm rooting for it.
Well, first of all, it's not going to piss anyone off because it'll just say, you know, our guy is playing chess again. You know, no one's going to get annoyed by it.
Well,
think it's another example of him being smarter than everybody.
Well,
else.
If he comes in to throw a ball on third and four and throws it to the other team, I think some people might say so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not letting that one slip by.
So we'll see how that goes.
No.
In terms of Cam Newton running and how much they can run him or should run him, where do you stand on that?
I think he needs to run. Mostly because I don't know where you go on offense to convert. If you're looking at a third and four, what do you have more faith in? This is not about Cam Newton and his accuracy. It's about someone other than Julian Edelman uncovering to get the first down, or Newton sort of scrambling out of the pocket and making it on his own. That's, I think, the best way they have of moving the chains, I think, on Sunday is going to involve a good amount of him running.
And do you think Newton wants to do it?
I think that's the way he likes to play. Yeah, I think that's when he's, you know, sort of the full cam. You know, you get the whole package. I was listening to you guys a little bit driving home, and I agree. You know, what makes him different than most quarterbacks is the ability to line up on third and two and get in the shotgun, take the snap, take a step back, and just say, I'm plowing forward, and I'm going to move the pile, and I'm going to get the first down. I don't know if they want to do that too often, especially early in the season, but that's the way he runs. He's a power guy. He wants to take on tacklers. He doesn't make guys miss as much as he does just breaking tackles. So I think that's a sort of a slippery slope that they have there. I would anticipate him running a lot this season. I don't know if it will be right out of the gate in week one, but I don't see how this offense consistently moves the ball without him being a big part of it on the ground.
So look, yeah, I hope you're right.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, to me, he's got to run, but you said something, you know, that they may protect him there a little bit. And I know I'm sort of crossing streams here, but don't you think some of it is going to depend on the situation? Which brings me to this. Is their defense going to be any good? Like, if their defense is good, they can pick their spots, right?
Yeah, I do think their defense will be good. I think the secondary is exceptional. And I think in this day and age, if you can cover and I think you can keep points down, even if they have trouble stopping the run again like they did last year. I mean, that lends itself sort of to lower scoring close games. So, yeah, I do think they'll pick their spots, Tony. I think that's a good point. You don't have to go into a game and saying, well, we need to get Cam Newton 10, 12 rushes today in order to be effective offensively. But, you know, if it's, you know, we got a 17-13 lead with 5 minutes left and it's 3rd and 4, we might just ask him to pick this up on his own, you know, and that might be the way they go about it. So I do think they'll pick their spots. I don't think they want to – I think it's sort of – I've been going back and forth in my head on this, not to get too long-winded here, but – I don't know how much of the offense he's up to speed with. I don't know how good the weapons are that he has to work with. So in week one, he might have to run more. Whereas, you know, my head is telling me you would want to sort of break him in a little bit slower, make sure you keep him healthy for the long run and do all that. So I could see it going both ways. I just think that he needs to have success on the ground in order for this offense to have much success at all.
Okay, Paul Perl will join us for the next hour. You can join us with any of your Patriots thoughts at 617-779-0985. Whole team question here. Paul, what's your biggest concern? What's your biggest concern heading into this game and this season?
Just the offense in general. You know, the weapons on offense just are lacking. The receiver position really is just Edelman. I don't know where they go to consistently throw the football and, you know, do the things that we know the Patriots want to do, you know, and have that, you know, efficient passing game. I don't know how you do it when I anticipate Julian Edelman getting double teamed a lot and everybody else getting, you know, dare me to beat you. And I don't know if they have enough offensively to do that. Defensively, Tony, you said, are they going to be any good? And I didn't really touch on that. I do think they're good defensively. I don't think they're great. I think when you look at the numbers last year and the ranking, they finished first in points. They had an unbelievable season defensively last year. I don't think the unit was as good as the numbers indicated, and they lost a lot off of that unit. So I think they'll be good defensively. Like I said, I think the secondary is really good, but I still wonder about the front seven and where they, you know, if Derrick Henry wants to line up and run it down their throat again, like he did in the playoff game last year, I don't know where they go to stop that. So I do think offensively, they want to run the ball and play that way, but I think that's a tough way to win if you can't throw the ball, and that's my biggest concern.
See, I think if a team like Tennessee wants to run it on them, I think they'll be okay with that now. They were okay with it in the past, but even now.
Well, it keeps the score down.
Right, it slows the game down.
I think they were okay
down
with it last year because it inherently kept them in the game, you know, to your point. Yeah,
And so I think that's even more true this year without Brady. There's always a chance that Brady was going to be able to generate points. Now you got to keep it low. Now I think they got to do all the things that they did early on in Belichick's tenure. You know, the special teams, the punting, make your kicks, all of it. Play defense, force field goals. The other team wants to run. Let them run. Slow the game down. Bill's always been good at that.
Absolutely.
Always good at control. Controlling the tempo of the game.
I had a good argument today about this, Tony, and I agree with you and Mike, and I know Mike always feels this way about the running game. I do too. You know, the guy I work with, Mike Dussault, for Patriots.com, he was saying, you know, I would just line up and the Patriots haven't been able to stop the run. I would run Jordan Howard, Matt Breida, make them stop them and just run it that way. And I look at it a little bit differently. I go out there and I put the pedal to the metal if I'm Miami. And if I say, if I can get the game into the mid 20s or the upper 20s into, you know, close to 30, I don't think the Patriots can keep up. So if you can throw the ball and put points on the board and get the Patriots behind and then take the running game away from them and make them throw, this isn't Tom Brady.
Right.
So I think that's the way you try to attack the Patriots. Now, if you can get them uncomfortable and out of their element and make them have to put points on the board, I don't know where they turn.
So do you think the Pats offense is going to be tricked up? I mean, it's going to be a read option. He's in the shotgun the whole time, handing off sideways, RPOs, things of that nature. You think it's going to look like that?
I think they'll do a lot of that. Yeah, I don't think it'll be all that. I think they'll be under center as well. And they're going to try to line up and run conventionally as well with a fullback, I would imagine. And, you know, I think Sony Michel will get some opportunities. I think, you know, Damian Harris will get some opportunities when he comes back. And I would expect on Sunday Burkhead to get some carries. They want to run the football and they want to play to that. I think they feel like the strength of their offense is the line, the offensive line. I don't know if that's true or not yet. I mean, we'll see, you know, how Isaiah Wynn, you know, holds up over a whole season. If David Andrews is back, and certainly the biggest question is Jermaine Illuminor on the right side. He's never really played. So that's what they want to do. I think they want to run the football and, you know, control the clock that way. And, you know, I'd be surprised if they, you know, went into the game saying, you know, anything less than, say, 20, 25 carries. And if they can get there, I think they'll feel pretty good about it. I think that's what they want to do. And it will be conventional too, Mike, not just the RPO stuff and the read options, but you will see that too. I think they'll have design runs for Cam. And I think that you'll see a lot of the shotgun, as you call them, sideways handoffs, you know, that college offense that you don't like.
I don't. I know. Yeah.
You don't like it.
Do you, is the receiver group the worst group on the team?
Yeah.
I mean, and I just saw that. I just saw Edelman popped up in the injury report with a knee is limited. So how boned would they be without him?
Geez.
Yeah, he's been banged up all camp. And I know a lot of people have played this off. And I'm glad the injury report's out while I'm talking about it. A lot of people have played this off as their you know, maintenance days, and they're monitoring him. They're not monitoring him. He's been banged up since early in camp.
Season hasn't even started, Paul. How's he banged up?
Yeah, it's. Look, I'm not. No, he,
no, he's. Paulie's yelling at you. He's now he's blaming you.
I'm not blaming you, Paul. I'm just asking the question. Like Jimmy Stewart's clearly onto something with the Edelman knee. Like this this guy's a time bomb. How many snaps is he going to be able to play?
Yeah, are you all like pissed off at Von Miller too? You know, like guys get hurt even before the game starts.
I'm not pissed off. It's how I talk.
It's a concern though, because I don't know where they turn without Edelman. Absolutely.
Okay, the receiver group. There's a nugget coming up in the Sign with Player coming back that we'll talk about the ranking of this receiver position with the Patriots, and we'll take your calls with Paul Prill. Why are you smirking?
Because you can rotate the receivers all you want. They all suck.
617-779-0985.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
After Halloween, which is late October, the Patriots scored 25 points once against the dreadful Bengals. That was with Tom Brady, who had memorized the system. They were 4-5 in their last 9 games. They have had 8 players opt out, and they lost several key starters to free agency and replaced none of them. Oh, yeah, the draft, they're not great at that, and never, never draft somebody that makes an immediate star impact. Oh, and let's throw this out there. Peter King on the show yesterday brought up an interesting point on how little firepower they have offensively.
Pro Football Focus has been doing numbers on every NFL player for the last 14 years, since 2006. And collectively, the receiving core of the New England Patriots in 2019 was the worst as a team that they've ever graded on any team in 14 years.
It's like, this is not disputable. No functional tight end, no deep threat. The legendary offensive line coach is gone. Brady's out. Gronk's gone. It's bad.
Colin Coward with Peter King there. Peter King read that stat and Maz's jaw dropped.
My gosh. In the history of Pro Football Focus. Now, look, they haven't been around for 100 years.
14.
14 years. The lowest collective grade for any receiving group was the 2019 Patriots, and they're worse.
Was that the lowest receiver group or any positional group of any?
So I was unclear on that, too. We should probably listen to it again.
It's okay.
But I think it feels to me like he was including tight ends, because he went on to talk about tight ends. So I would say pass-catching group.
Worst lowest in 14 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if it is
and
just
it's
the pass
worse. It's worse now. It's worse.
Even if it's just the pass catchers and not, you know, all that's plenty bad. That's
horrendous.
32 times 14. Do the math.
Brutal.
So, I mean, that is, Paul, is it that bad?
I think it's pretty bad. I just don't know where they turn. And the thing I'm most disappointed in is they really wanted to increase the speed, right? They thought they were a little slow last year. We heard a lot of comments like that during the early part of the offseason. And they basically came away with one guy in Damier Bird who can run. And, you know, otherwise it's slot guys, which, you know, some of those, I think Gunnar Olszewski can move, you know, but I don't necessarily look at those guys as guys that are going to beat you with their speed. You know, Jacoby Myers is not a speed guy. He's more of a bigger slot guy. So where do they go? Where do they turn to put a little pressure on the back end of a defense in the passing game? I don't think that's Harry's strength. And I think there have been some good receivers taken the last couple of years. You know, I'm not willing to completely write off Harry at this point, but there certainly seems to be some guys that were drafted, you know, after him that have made a bigger impact already. I'm just a little disappointed that they haven't gotten better at that spot.
I mean, I don't know what they see in Harry or what they saw. Harry's not fast. He's not quick. And does he have special hands?
And he doesn't even know where the end zone line is.
He's strong and physical, but I don't really think that that's the attribute you look for in a first round draft pick.
Okay, so he's big, he's strong, physical. Can he catch it?
I think he could catch. Yeah,
that was convincing, Paul.
Wow, is that I think,
to be honest, we haven't really seen him do anything in games, so I can't. This is like the Jared Stidham argument. You know, a lot of my colleagues would tell you all offseason that he was going to do this and that, and I just kept saying, I have no idea. I never saw him play. Well, I really have never really seen N'Keal Harry do much. You know, he played, what, the last six or seven games, caught a couple of passes here and there.
His best play was the end around. His best play was the end around that he got porked on the call, right? Remember that?
That was
the most notable play of the year, I think.
Yeah, he can take a hit. He'll break a tackle. But again, my recollection was that Brady didn't have confidence throwing him the ball, not just because he wasn't going to be in the right place, because he wasn't going to catch it.
Yeah, I think it was mostly because he wasn't in the right place and he wasn't open. You know, quite frankly, that's the thing that I would worry about the most. I don't think his hands are a big problem. I think his inability to separate is a problem.
I'm telling you, if Bill Belichick wasn't the coach and it wasn't the Patriot logo and all that institutional confidence we have in the operation, we would look at this team and say they are going to suck.
5-11.
Well, a lot of people are doing that, Mike. You're not, but you know, a lot. I think that you throw the other thing in there is, you know, the whole situation with the offseason and COVID. I think that the preparation is probably lacking around the league, and people look at it as saying, well, Belichick, if given less, Belichick will do more with it, right?
Yeah, if it wasn't for the coaching, I would give this team no shot. I mean, seriously. And just sort of the Patriot magic dust, and, you know, the amount of times you write them off, and you just when you do, they come back. So it's just like you're reluctant to ever bury them, even without Tom Brady, you know? But, you know, if it wasn't for that thing, you'd look at that roster and say, these guys suck.
Terrified. I told you, the opt-outs hurt. That Hightower one really hurt. That really hurt. And you look at the linebacking core and you say, I don't know what they're going to get there. I mean, maybe those guys can play. I hope they can. Uche and Jennings, like, okay, let's see. I mean, I'm intrigued by that. But who the hell knows? I mean, the Hightower one was a killer. That was a killer.
Okay, a couple of calls here for Pip, as promised. Will in the car. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Great show. Hey, just a quick comment and then a question. You know, in the past, Cam Newton has gotten a lot of hits that did not receive calls, illegal hits, late hits. Officials never threw flags, and I think it's been documented he had those gripes with NFL officiating. So I'm just wondering, my question is, do you think Bill Belichick will try to set a tone with the officiating this season in terms of, helping Cam to stay healthy and not get those and get the flags when he gets the late hits and the illegal hits? Thanks for taking my call.
You know what? It's a good question. You know, Brady got all those calls. Is Cam Newton going to get those calls, Paul?
Yeah, well, he definitely hasn't. The caller is absolutely right. He took a beating at times. And the game I always remember is that opener in Denver.
Yes.
That year. Oh, my God, did he take a beating that night? And they didn't call, virtually any of them. I don't know if Belichick, but, you know, Mike, does this qualify as to that Patriots dust that gets, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, he's a Patriot now, so he'll get the calls?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, I think it's unquestionable that Cam Newton has not gotten those kinds of calls the way Tom Brady did.
Oh, having Bill as his coach will help.
Yeah, it should. Derek in North Providence. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Pleasure. What do you got?
So I have to talk about the Patriots. I'm almost tired of hearing about who's going to start, Cam Newton, Jared Stidham. I think rotationally they might bring in Hoyer a little bit, but I think it's going to be mostly Cam Newton getting all the snaps because he's such a question mark. And I think they just want to see, you know, a full game, Cam Newton. I think that's what we're going to see.
Probably. I'm just saying, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You should never be surprised at anything that they do, especially when they have a chance to look smarter than everybody else. And this is sort of one of those chances. Cam Newton, no one's had a preseason where we're going to run around for 90 snaps out there. We're going to rotate him like we rotate everybody else. And that's how we're going to approach it. They're the only team that's going to do it that way. And the air will smell from the stink of their farts showing us how smart they are. You just feel that coming almost.
Ugh. And again, if I'm Cam Newton, I couldn't be more insulted. This is my one chance to rehabilitate my image, show everyone that I'm healthy, show that I can make some money and be a starting quarterback for someone else after 2020, after I work with Bill Belichick, and you're going to take me off the field for Brian Effenhoyer? I'd purposely become a problem.
don't you like how we're ripping the Patriots for something they haven't done and probably won't do?
I just don't see it happening. And I will say, if they run 90 offensive plays on Sunday, I don't think anybody will be concerned at all about anything, you know, who's playing or what. They're lucky if they run 90 plays in two games, the first two games.
So, I mean, you think they're going to slow it down that much?
No, I think the offense isn't very good.
Oh, they're just not going to get a chance to run the, I get it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Paul, are they going to have a kicker?
Yeah, eventually. Eventually.
Who is it?
No, my guess is Nick Folk. We'll see on Sunday. You know, I've been asking a couple of people about this, and I haven't heard specifically what the plan is. But my guess is they just elevate him from the practice squad. And, you know, you can do that twice with the same player. So you'd have to, you know, make a corresponding move in the future. But for this week, I think you elevate Folk at some point, maybe on Saturday. He kicks on Sunday, and then you figure out what you want to do from there. I think they're just buying some extra time, but it's not ideal. I mean, you draft a guy in Rohrwasser in the fifth round. He was the first kicker selected, so clearly that's the guy that you identified as being the best. And I think he had some sort of medical issue because he didn't do any kicking while we were there.
No, he did. He had a medical issue. He was kicking it into the porta potties.
And then
he had poopitis.
But Tony, I can't even describe how bad some of the kicks were.
Is that right?
I mean, he was real. I mean, you know when the ball just looks – you watch football games. The ball looks the same when guys kick it, right?
Yeah.
It's going end over end. It's, you know, the ball didn't travel that way. It was going, like, sideways at times. So I don't know if it was just a physical thing. I don't know if he was uptight. I don't know if he just – I don't know if he was choking. I don't know what the deal was, but it didn't look good for a while. Now, late in camp, he sort of stabilized things a little bit. He still was inconsistent, but – it started to look much better, but Folk was money in the summer. I would be stunned if he's not kicking Sunday.
No, that's what you want. When you miss, you want it to look good.
I'm talking about when he was making them, missing them.
No, I
nothing, nothing looked good in the first several times.
Ball was spinning sideways. You know, it's just not
sideways.
What you're looking for. Yeah, no, I get it. So even the kicker sucks. I'm telling you. The one for Belichick and that logo, people look at this team and go, watch out.
I'll tell you what, I'd be scared in those porta potties, man, if that thing's coming in sideways.
Okay, meanwhile, Bill Belichick apparently, reportedly, wanted a big-name veteran to come back, and this big-name veteran turned him down. That story coming up right after Murray's update and your calls.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Akil Talib is officially retired.
Let's go into that decision a little bit. What would you say was the main contributing factor?
I told myself, personally, like, I need to play one more year. So as long as somebody gives me a nice check, of course I'm coming. Or if somebody gave me a nice-ass role, my guy, my big homie, Bill Belichick called my phone, Harrison.
What?
Called my phone, man. Told me that he had the role of a lifetime for me. So he really wanted me to come in and strap tight end. I was halfway out the door. I got flights. I started finding apartments. I could have got up to $5.5-6 million. Nice vet contract. I can make $6 million and guard tight ends all day. I'm like, I'm cool. So I kind of started going through that schedule. I kind of seen Kittles and Kelsey and Waller. So usually when I get in this position, like I'm going to a new team, my thoughts are all positive. Like, okay, this guy's here. Maybe if he did this, maybe I could do this. Maybe I can get this many interceptions, go to the Pro Bowl. Okay, these guys in the NFC, so I have to beat out him and him. Like, you know, I kind of run down all positive thoughts, though.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, Harrison, I looked at this schedule, Harrison, and the thought, quotation marks, I said, can I even strap these damn tight ends? I said, oh, it's over with. Once I said that, once that negative thought crossed my mind, I was like, man, my heart, my competitive edge, like, I ain't really in it like that no more. You know what I'm saying?
So that's Akib Talib, who's not going to go into the media, thank God, perfect, basically saying he turned down Bill Belichick for $6 million. That's the only piece of the story I don't quite believe. I don't I'd be surprised if the Pats were offering that kind of money. You know, I'm pretty big on it. I just think they're in cost-cutting this year. But either way, Murray, why did Aqib Talib turn down Bill Belichick?
Because I think he looked at the schedule, like he mentioned there, and then realized, oh, well, wait a minute. Let me also look at the roster. Oh, they're going to suck. I'm good.
You think basically that's what that was?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. At this point in his career, you know, it had been down when he was with the Rams. I mean, that's where he was last year, right? He's not the same player, and I love him. He's wildly entertaining. I think he'll be very successful going into a booth or doing podcasts, whatever it happens to be. But I don't know. Like, I just don't know how much he would actually factor in. Their strongest point is their secondary. I don't think that they would even really need to add him. If he could play wide receiver, well, that'd be a different story. But I wouldn't blame him or anyone else right now that was on the street if Belichick called up and the money was just iffy and said, hey, we could use you. And you look at the schedule, you look at the roster, and you say, I'm good. Yeah, no thanks, because I think you're going
to
stink.
So I would love to know when that conversation took place. Like, was Brady still up in the air? Did Brady go into Tampa affect his decision? Like, you know.
And does the Pat Chung opt out factor
in? Like, right, like all those things. And you know, so to me, the most interesting part of that for me was him saying that Bill reached out and says, you want to come cover some tight ends for us. So the Patriots looked at their schedule, because I believe that Bill builds the roster for the schedule, or at least part of it. And that they did it that year with Revis. They were going to face all those good passing games. They went out and got Revis in 2014, because they were going to see all these good receivers and quarterback combos. So this year, I looked it up. 7 of the top 10 tight ends in the league, based on targets last year, on the Patriots schedule. Travis Kelce, Waller with Oakland, Kittle, Mark Andrews with Baltimore, Higby with the Rams, Gesicki with Miami, and, you know, the 11th is Jason Witten, who's now in Vegas with Waller. So you get all these tight ends, and I also think it tells you a lot about, I don't know, is this why they drafted Duggar? Is this part of the logic? They need someone to cover tight ends? And is this why they're moving Jojoan to safety? Because they need someone long to cover tight ends? Like, I think, you know, to me, it tells you that Bill recognizes it's going to be an issue for them.
What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think Juwan Williams is a good thought, Maz. I think they look at him as a big corner, much like Talib, you know, a physical guy with the size to match up with those kinds of tight ends. And yeah, they do face a lot of good ones. And it's going to be tough. You know, Greg Olsen is in there too, you know, in Seattle, right?
Correct.
So, you know, it's not going to be an easy task. I raised my eyebrows with the price tag, Mike. I kind of, you know, heard that $6 million and was like, that seems kind of high. But yeah, I wouldn't be stunned to see Juwan Williams get an opportunity to do that. We know that they've used Chung like that. And I do think Duggar is a guy that they probably envision, but do they want him to do that right away out of the chute? I don't expect him to have a huge role defensively early on. Adrian Phillips is a guy that can do some different things, but I think he's kind of more of an in-the-box safety they want against the run. I think Juwan Williams might get a chance to cover tight ends. We'll see if he gets Gesicki on Sunday.
I'll just tell you, you might see some of these guys later in the year. Maybe by then, Duggar's ready to give you something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Duggar. I like the idea of Duggar doing
He's 6'1".
Yeah.
Juwan Williams is 6'3". Like, to me, I think, you know, Aqib Talib let out a little bit of info there.
Well, while we're on corners and money, how do you think Stephon Gilmore feels about his contract right about now? Is it Jalen Ramsey today that signed?
Yes, yeah. Over $100 million.
And you know, there's been a couple other big...
Tre'Davious White and Buffalo.
So the money's going through the roof for the corner position. How do you think Stephon Gilmore feels about his contract?
Yeah, I think he's looking for more. You know, I still haven't really gotten a resolution. Now, he was asked point blank if it was contract related when he missed a couple of days. I think he missed 4 days of practice.
Yep.
And he said no. You know, so he was asked the question, he answered it no, and we have no reason to just say he's a liar. But I don't think that we've gotten any real definitive word as to what the quote-unquote personal issue was that kept him off the practice field. You know, people have related that to a family thing, and I think when we do that, we automatically give respect to a player, and it's none of our business what a family issue is. But I've never heard anybody say it was a family issue. I've heard it was a personal issue. And I don't necessarily think those two things are the same. Now, maybe they were. But I would be surprised if he's not looking at these contracts and saying, I'm the reigning defensive player of the year. I'm better than these guys, and I deserve more. Now, that's one of those timing issues. You know, I join you guys sometimes when we question some of the Patriots' financial moves. This is not one I question. They went out and targeted Stephon Gilmore a few years ago in free agency. They paid him in the top of the market, and he's still not, you know, he's not underpaid by any stretch. You guys are right. Some other guys have gotten contracts since. That's a timing issue. That's what happens in sports. It's the guy who signs most recently, but he signed a really good deal. The Patriots paid him a lot of money, and I don't blame the Patriots for sort of wanting to wait. But you know, my feeling is I wouldn't be stunned if this is the last year for Gilmore here in New England. He's going to want more, and they're probably going to deal him.
He's now, based on the list I'm looking at, and this is, you know, again, AAV, okay? Yep. 12th at his position.
Yep. And he's got, so what does he have left? Does he have a year after this left?
Two, yeah. This year and next, right?
So,
Tony, you have that in front of you?
He's got this year and next, correct.
Yeah. Paul, do you think there's a chance the Patriots are sellers at the trade deadline? You almost never ask that about a football team, but...
Yeah, I did ask somebody that, and it wasn't completely shot down. I'll say that. I think a lot of things will happen. You know, what would the Patriots' record have to be at the trade deadline for them to be sellers?
So what is it now? Is it October 31st?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's about halfway.
Would they have to be two and six?
Yeah, would they have to be 2-6? And I don't know if they're going to be 2-6. And the other part of this is, let's say they're in second or third place in the division, because I still think Miami and the Jets are even behind still even behind. So it's just Buffalo. Are you confident that Buffalo was like 6 and 2 while you're 2 and 6? Because I'm not.
Nope. Heck no.
So I think you're going to be in it. And I just find it hard to believe the Patriots would be sellers.
If they're 2-6 and it's ugly, they could sell.
Yeah, they could.
They could sell at 2-6.
I think of them more around, you know.
Give me two candidates.
3-5, 4-4, and they're within a game or two of first place. And they're going to say, we can still win this division.
If they were sellers, give me two candidates. I have two.
Gilmore and Cam Newton.
Gilmore is definitely one. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, Edelman's easy too. Yeah,
Gilmore
sure.
And Edelman, you know, Mike, you answered it.
Yep, Edelman.
As usual, you ask the question and answer it too.
Yeah, it's
a gift.
Wraparound facilitation right there. And because I'll tell you, because Edelman, you know, his teammates hate him. And so, like, how can you keep a guy who's, you know, can be there forever when all the things that you've won and have your teammates still not vote you as captain? I mean, Bill tells me that the players vote for it. I believe him. So his teammates must hate him. So
I'll give you another one if you want it.
Go ahead.
Tooney.
Tooney. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, right.
Tooney. He's another guy. Someone could use a good offensive lineman halfway through the season when they lose a player.
Yeah,
Tooney's another one who could go. Yeah.
You lose a valuable offensive lineman. Absolutely. That's a good one, too.
Oh, okay, so let's wrap it up with Paul. His thoughts on the Dolphins coming up on Sunday in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mez. You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Mez.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look, this isn't groundbreaking news. I think Fitz is going to be the starter. A year like this with limited, no OTAs, no mini camp, limited, training camp or a modified training camp. We just felt like that was the best decision for the team. We're going to do what we feel is best to try to win the game. That's going to be our approach every week. But I would say if the young players get reps in the game, then that's good. If they only get reps in practice, then, you know, that's what it is. And we have to do, you know, we have to make do with what we have.
Brian Flores on the decision to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick in the opener here over Tua, which Paul Perillo wrapping up his stint here with us. I was disappointed in Paul. I wanted to see the rookie.
Yeah, me too. You know, I can certainly understand why. I think it makes a lot of sense. You didn't have a whole lot of time to get Tua up to speed in the offense. It's been a while. So he's coming off a pretty serious injury. It's been a while since he's been hit. He didn't get a chance to get him out there in a preseason game or even joint practices to see how he responded. So I understand it, but I agree with you, Mike. I'm a little disappointed. I wanted to see him and, you know, how it looked with a young, you know, talented quarterback in the mix. I think we all know about Ryan Fitzpatrick and, you know, just how mediocre he is. And there's not a whole lot that excites me there.
All right, so what are you looking for in this game?
I look for the Patriots to run the ball a lot. And, you know, like I said earlier, conventionally as well as with Cam Newton, I think if they can establish that and stay ahead of the sticks and all those cliches that we love to throw around, you know, I think they could play the game on their terms. I don't want to see them falling behind because I think they'll have a hard time throwing to catch up. But I do think at home, even though it's not a huge deal with the crowds and the situations as they are, I think the Patriots find a way to win this game. I don't think it'll be an easy one. I envision some field goals being maybe 23-19, something like that. but a lower scoring close game that could go either way. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at for most of these games.
Who on Miami scares you, if anyone?
Well, if healthy, I mean, I'm looking at the injury report, and the Dolphins have a lot of big names on it. Devontae Parker is one of them. And I just think back to that game last year. He's a talented guy. And what he did with Gilmore, really, I don't think we saw anybody else do last year. Treat Gilmore, I think it was 8 for 137, and he was dominant. Whenever they needed a completion, that's where they went. They have another kid in Isaiah Ford who did pretty well in the slot that year. But the other thing that sticks out to me is Jordan Howard and Matt Breida, two guys that weren't there last year. They have a 1-2 punch at running back, and the Patriots haven't been able to stop the run. So do they try to run the ball and do the same thing the Patriots tried to do to them? Now, that, to me, shortens the game and keeps the score down. Like I said earlier, I think if Fitzpatrick can get hot, I think that's the way to go about it. Try to throw the ball, put some points on. But Devontae Parker is a guy who scares me.
So you don't mention any of the expatriates. Kyle Van Noy, is it a Landon Roberts who's there? Like that whole thing brewing there? That doesn't
That doesn't worry me at all.
Why?
I think that they're good players. I throw Ted Karras in there too. I know he was one of their captains on the offensive line. I think they're good players. I don't wish any ill will on any of those guys, but I don't think they're difference makers. I think Byron Jones is a guy. If Xavier and Howard were healthy, you have two solid, both of those guys, Jones and Howard, are on the injury report too. So that's two pretty good corners against your weak, core of pass catchers. So I think Miami is better on paper, but I think it's still, there's still a long way to go before you get it on paper to manifest itself on the field. And, we have to wait to see what Tua is, because they're not going anywhere with Fitzpatrick as the quarterback.
What are the Patriots favored by? 6.5, is it?
Yeah, that's what I said. 6.5, yeah.
I'll take the points this week.
Paul, you going to the game?
I will be there. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be watching it, but I will be in the stadium somewhere. We'll do our radio from our studio, and then I think I'll probably go to the press box, but I'm not exactly sure yet. It's going to be different.
Yeah, what do you think that's going to be? What do you think that's going to, have you heard the artificial noise that they pump into the stadium? Have you heard any of this stuff?
Yeah, I've heard some of the stuff they did during practices, but I don't think that's what it's going to entail during the game. I know that some of the game presentation the league wants teams to do as normal, so like the music and things like that. But as far as actual crowd noise / reactions to plays, I don't think any of us really know what's going to happen there and how that's going to be handled. But it's going to be a different experience for sure. They're taking away our food in the press box.
What?
That's a tragedy.
Say
that's
what?
We'll have like boxed lunches and stuff like that. But, the Gillette Stadium food is pretty good, guys.
No.
The
horror.
The buffets up there. I mean, that's gonna do some damage to you, Tony. You won't be able to make fun of me as well.
Yeah, you could afford to skip a meal, Paul. Don't kid yourself.
Absolutely.
So I think we're all looking forward to that. But real quick, in terms of motivation, like expatriates, Van Noy, those guys going against Belichick. I think there's gonna be a little bit of motivation for Belichick. We'll throw this up on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. The Dolphins are wearing commemorative patches this year on their upper left shoulder. That's a Shula 347. Don Shula passed over the past year. And so they're putting that number there, the 347 number, on the jerseys this year. And Belichick, who I think, Paul, with your help, wants that number, maybe is obsessed by that number. There's a little motivation for Belichick. That's the one that he's after, 347, right there in your ginch. How do you feel about that?
I do think that is something that's very important to Bill, and he won't admit it. And I don't think that we know that Shula had no use for Belichick, right? He made no bones about it in his later years, taking all kinds of shots, at the Cheatriots and all that stuff. So, I think Bill will definitely have that, on his mind. He's going to look at that. That number is important to him. I think he's going to continue to coach as long as he feels like he can get to that number. The other part, you talk about these two teams. Did you guys see some of Van Noy's comment? I think he had a comment today about have been talking trash for 4 years. And, when I was there, and now we'll see if they can back it up. And yeah,
he's just the
there's
worst.
A reason why he's an expatriate. Let's put it that way.
Oh, so now you're all come around to my point of view. It's like, oh my God, we ripped this guy, right? It's like, oh, we're the devil for ragging on Kyle Van Noy. Now
I was there
gets
that
it.
Day, and I got ripped with you just for being there. So
wait a minute. When he says they've been talking about trash for 4 years, doesn't he mean himself?
Right. Yeah.
He's the one that talked all the trash. He's the one that named the defense the boogeymen, He's the one that called the playoff. You know, remember the revenge tour?
Now all you baby Patriots report. I'm not talking to you, Paul, but I'm talking like the baby Patriot cartel. Now it's okay to call him an a-hole, I guess. God, that's annoying.
Well, look at how Brady's been treated. You haven't read the stuff about how the passing game's going to be better now that Brady's not holding it back?
Well, there's a million examples of this.
Right, yeah. So, Paul, is there any truth to the rumor that the Patriots will have their patch that that reads pushed out 12? Those going to be on the jerseys on Sunday?
Should be fun.
Jim Murray is just priceless. He's so bitter.
Pat's at one, Bucks at four. Right?
Great. Oh, it's great.
By the way, we ripped the league for a lot of things, but let's give them credit for that. I think it was 15 out of the 16 games?
Yep.
They're at different times for us.
You don't have a conflict until week 16, I think, or something like that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, by then the Pats will be out of it anyway.
Won't be much of a conflict.
That Tampa New Orleans game is the game of the week.
Okay, Paul, thanks for joining us. As always, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, Paul Perillo, Patriots.
Enjoy the box salad.
His brown bag lunch that he's got to bring with, of course, Maz, the bagel bites in his pockets.
I have two in each one.
Coming up next, we will reset our Celtics thoughts as they click down in 90 minutes until game time there against Toronto and a chance to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, where awaiting them should be a pretty beatable opponent. We'll reset the table on that one and your thoughts on Giannis and the Eastern Conference. All of that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials, so go nowhere.